21 verse 15 through verse 17, 19 is what I will read to you. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. And then he said to him, follow me. Today for our sermon message on this Youth Sunday, I would like you to consider the topic, in my feelings. In my feelings. The young people know what it is. Y'all better catch up. On Friday, July 13th of this year, U.S. Congresswoman Joyce Beatty of Ohio's 3rd District took to her Twitter and tweeted an unprecedented challenge. She joined in with thousands of social media enthusiasts in the In My Feelings challenge. Unlike the 45th president of the United States, Congresswoman Beatty sent a message worth hearing. She sent a message to us, the American people, when she did the unthinkable and left a message for Kiki. She said on her Twitter feed, I don't know who Kiki is, but I want her to vote next November because this White House has me and many Americans in my feelings. Under this video, it was hashtag Kiki must vote, hashtag in my feelings. If you've never seen the challenge, we're going to play it here for you this morning. If you don't know who Kiki is, it doesn't really matter. This pointed message really wasn't aimed at any particular person, especially was it not aimed at Kiki. But what it was aimed at is at every American who has spent time complaining, wishing, hoping, and praying something is done about the current state in which we're facing in this country. Congressman Joyce Beatty is saying, don't keep talking about what you're going to do. Show me if you're going to do it. It should have some people, I don't know, maybe issues in Gaithersburg are different than issues in D.C. where I live, or maybe issues are in Gaithersburg different than the issues faced in Howard County where I just came from, but I don't know about you, but we got some issues regarding immigration, healthcare, public policy, education, or anything else associated, Reverend Holt, hashtag Trump. And if you're like Congressman Beatty, you ought to be in your feelings. Maybe we can't seem to understand where the Congresswoman would get this message from, but the young people have already let us know this morning that they are familiar with this new challenge called In My Feelings. It's a challenge by the rap artist Drake. The hook is simple. Kiki, do you love me? Are you riding? So you never leave me a bit from beside me, cause I want you and I need you and I'm down for you always. KB, do you love me? Are you riding? Say you never leave me from beside me, cause I want you and I need you and I'm down for you always. But the real truth in this sermon is I'm not advocating this song as a song that should be on your young person's playlist. But what I do know is that Drake is asking a simple question to the person in this song. And the question is, do you love me enough never to leave me? Do you love me enough to walk with me? Do you love me enough to be beside me? Drake is letting Kiki know he wants her with him. And that he's there for her. But Drake is simply wanting just a little bit of loyalty for all that he's done for Kiki. And every now and then, I would wonder if God wants the same from us. As with our passage today in John, the 21st chapter of John begins with the story of Jesus' appearance to the disciples. Now, where we find this, unbeknownst to the disciples, Jesus is finding himself in the first part of the 21st chapter, providing instructions from the shore where they've been fishing all night long. They have been fishing all night long, and for those who read your Bibles, you know that the disciples had no luck. And this is the third time at this point that he is appearing to them after his resurrection. He appears to the disciples to instruct them to cast their nets on the right side of the boat where they are to cast. But then it was after the instructions of Jesus to change the side of the boat in which they're casting, in which they caught something. After following Jesus' instructions, they caught so many fish they were unable to haul all they had been provided. It was at this point that Peter looks up and recognizes, "There is my Lord." Peter recognizes who is giving the instructions. What I find interesting as we prepare to go through our scripture for today is that the city in which the boat was in, the city didn't change. The location and the direction of the boat that it was in when they were fishing, it did not change. The disciples and the people in the boat who were doing the fishing did not change. The reality is what was happening before we get to our focal passage is the mission and the way the disciples were fishing was changing. What are you saying, Pastor Tammy? Is the reality is sometimes God is asking us to change our perspective. Sometimes God is asking us, we don't necessarily need to change our community, we just need to change how we're gonna fish. If you want to make it plain, basically is God is saying there are people who still need the gospel, just go across the street. Sometimes when we are doing the will and the work of the Lord, it is not that we aren't doing the work right. Sometimes we just need to change the mechanics and the methods to how we do the work to get the increase that God is sending us. It was after this shift that when Jesus had changed the perspective and the methods that the disciples were doing the work of catching fish, that we now come in contact with an encounter and a conversation between Jesus and Peter. Jesus and Peter are in a situation. After eating and finishing breakfast, Jesus asked Peter the same three questions. He asked three questions the same way. He asked Peter the Drake question. He says, "Peter, do you love me more than these?" The first time Peter responds, "Yes, you know I do." And Jesus' response was simple, "Feed my lambs." The second time Jesus responds with, "Tend my sheep." And what is so prophetic about it, he doesn't stop after that. He asks a third time. And if you understand anything about Jesus and Peter's relationship, Peter was the same one who denied Jesus three times. However, the third time Jesus asked Peter, and Peter gets in his feelings. He feels some kind of way. He feels hurt that Jesus, who knows all things and is the author of all things, would even question whether or not he loves him. But Jesus continues the conversation after the third time and says, "Peter, do you love me?" And Peter responds, "Yes, you know I love you." But Jesus says, "Feed my sheep." During the betrayal of Jesus and Peter, the one who denied him three times, Jesus really isn't challenging Peter here. Instead, he's looking and asking Peter to get a little deeper. He's asking Peter to dig deep into the call of ministry in which God has placed on his life. Jesus is asking Peter, not will you feed your sheep, but will you feed my sheep? Jesus is questioning and not questioning Peter's loyalty or love for him, but what he's saying to Peter is that I'm looking for some Christian leaders. What he's saying to Peter in this message, he's He's saying to Peter, don't get weary in well-doing. He says, Peter, when you love me, you show it. Anybody in here understand that if we're going to make a change in the Gaithersburg community, if we're going to do something better than we've ever done before, if this greater Gaithersburg youth ministry is going to work, we can't just talk about it, we got to be about it. If this is going to be a new community outreach project, if our young people are going to grow in this generation, if we're going to accept the challenge that they put before us, we can't just say it, we got to show it. What are you saying to me this morning, preacher? When you love Jesus, you show it. When you love Jesus, you feed the hungry. When you love Jesus, you house the homeless. When you love Jesus, you spread the comfort. When you love Jesus, you comfort the grieving. When you love Jesus, you fight for justice. When you love Jesus, you take the church outside of these walls and be the church in this community. If you love me, Peter, feed my sheep. Jesus is not asking Peter to change who he is. Jesus only wants Peter to do is take care of his people. He wants Peter to be the church, and he wants us to show the people what it means to truly say what we say when we love Christ and not be inconsistent in what we say and what we do. And what Jesus is saying here, as our young people are saying, if we got problems with an education gap, if we got problems with oppression and racism, when is the church gonna do something about it? Don't just say you love me and leave me. Feed my sheep, tend my sheep, walk my sheep. Jesus is continuing in his conversation with Peter. And in this conversation, he lets Peter know that when you've done all the work you've been called to do, Peter, you'll find yourself in a similar state as me. This is Jesus talking to Peter, and Jesus was informing Peter that at some point, now you're young, but at some point you're going to live your life, and at some point you will grow old, and when you get to the place that you've grown old and have lived out this call, Peter, you're going to be crucified for this call. But Peter doesn't realize that not only is the crucifixion already set, Peter understands now in the talking of Jesus that glorifying God will be done through this work. What are you saying, preacher? Peter is called to do great work. Peter has a call on his life. But for some of us, what we need to understand in this conversation between Jesus and Peter, in order for us to live out our call, there will be some pain with our purpose. We aren't just going to be able to get up out of these pews and walk out of this door and think that everybody in Gaithersburg is going to be happy with this shift. When you're doing the work that God has called you to do, you don't make many friends. When you're doing the work that God has called us to do, you don't make a whole bunch of people who want to help you doing it. But the reality is that when we decide to follow Christ, we decide to pick up our cross and walk daily. When we decide to walk with Christ, we decide to go regardless of what's going to happen to us. Peter was a bad man. He cut somebody's ear off. He loved Jesus, but he denied him. And Jesus is saying to Peter, if you love me, you would do what I would do. There is some pain in your purpose when you are answering and living into your call. What Peter is learning here, that in order to follow the call on your life, that you're going to have to do some sacrificial living. What are you talking about, preacher, with sacrificial living? You're actually going to have to show up to Bible study sometimes. You're actually going to have to get up at 5 a.m. and pray with the young people. If you're going to follow the call that God has got on our lives, we're going to have to understand that there is a cost to discipleship, Reverend Hope. I can't do what I used to do the way I used to do it. And that's what Jesus is saying to Peter. Yet, they will slay you. But God will get the glory. But follow me anyway. But follow me anyway when Jesus is going through this is saying, be consistent in your discipleship. Sometimes as Christians, what we tend to do is show up to one or two things and then we go falling on the wayside. What Jesus is saying that Peter, but follow me anyway. Be consistent in what you say and what you do. Be consistent in your discipleship. That means that what you do on Sunday morning, you have to do Monday through Monday. That means that just not opening your Bible on Sunday is going to cut it, but you're going to have to create some devotion time, young people, in order to change the circumstances in which we're living. Yes, there is an educational gap, but how much are you willing to change the gap? What are you committed to doing? Are you consistent in what you are going to do? Or are you waiting on us to do it for you? Are you going to be consistent in your study habits? Or are you waiting on somebody to tell you to study? Are you going to be consistent in your prayer life and pray before each and every test? Are you going to wait on the test to come through? The reality is Jesus, when he calls us to follow him anyway, we have to be consistent in who we are. And discipleship is beyond just reading the gospel, but it's also showing the people who are around us in our school system that we're going to do what we call to do, so regardless of what the statistics say. African-American young people will excel anyway, regardless of what the statistics say. As an immigrant community, we are going to be able to continue to live in this country despite what the president says, regardless of what America has decided to do to us. We are going to answer the call of Christ. And Peter, understanding that a part of his call is to do more than just talk about he loved Christ, he's got to show up. Peter, understanding his call, understands that with every pain and every sacrifice in ministry and his call, there is purpose. But the part that messes me up with Peter is that in the last part of this chapter, Peter, he turns and he saw the disciple of whom Jesus was following. Who Jesus loved was following. This is the one that had leaned back against Jesus at the Last Supper and said, Lord, who is going to betray you? When Peter saw him, he asked, Lord, what about him? Jesus answered, if you want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me. Peter is asking a question about what is John doing? If you don't understand what happened in the Last Supper, basically it was at the time that Jesus was getting ready to say that who betrayed him. He said, one among us will betray us. Peter turns to John, and John leans back to Jesus and asks a question, indicating that there is some close relationship between John and Jesus, and indicating that John and Jesus had an intimate relationship. This is just a sidebar. If you're going to get what God's got for you in this season, if you're going to be in your feelings with Christ, you're going to have an intimate relationship with him. But Peter is questioning, challenging, but what about John? John is not doing what I'm doing. And Jesus says to him, what is that to you? You see, young people in church this morning, if we're going to do what God is calling us to do, we can't worry about anybody else's call. If we're going to do what we've been called to do in Greater Gaithersburg and change the community and the young people and the lives here, then we can't worry about what's going on two streets over at another church. We can't worry about what's happening across the street with the other church because they're not working as hard and evangelizing as hard as we are, because it's not their call. It's our call. And so Christ is saying this morning that if you want to change the circumstances of your community, don't worry about what other churches are doing. Worry about what you are doing. That's why I am so glad that Emory Grove, Mill Creek Parish, and Epworth are all taking missional evangelism classes together. The question is, are you going to worry about the business of our call? Or are you going to worry about somebody else's. This morning in this passage and in the challenge of In My Feelings, and we started this conversation about Kiki, and we started about Congresswoman Beatty, but the question I ask, are you in your feelings? Are you mad enough at the devil that you're willing to go out and evangelize to the community? Are you mad enough with the devil that what's happening with our young people shouldn't be happening? Those statistics look like pre-slavery. They look like pre-segregation. And I want to understand, are you mad enough? Are you in your feelings enough to do something about it? The question is, you can do a challenge, but are you going to post it? The In Your Feelings challenge is a social media trend. Is our communities going to see us on social media being a different church? If we are going to come for the church the way God created it, if we are going to be like Peter, God, in this story, John, Peter, all of them had gone through the Last Supper. Peter had denied Jesus, and this whole message was Jesus reinstating Peter as a disciple to live out his call. Are we going to live out the call that God has placed on our lives to impact this community and, more importantly, change the lives of our young people? Are we in our feelings enough? Are we assured that the cost of discipleship, the cost of Jesus getting on that cross for each and every one of our sins so that we can have everlasting life, are we in our feelings enough to change Greater Gaithersburg? And I believe that the Lord is saying to us today, as our young people have placed the statistics, I never talked to them, didn't know what they were going to say, had no clue. But they're in their feelings. Yeah. Are you?
Will you praise God with me for the preacher of the morning? Will you stand with me? I heard an awful lot today from Reverend Brantley. But one thing I heard from her that sticks with me is that if you're going to do great things for Jesus, if you're going to beseech his presence, if you are going to get in your feelings with Jesus, you first have to have an intimate relationship with Jesus. Intimate relationships look like this. They look like there's nothing between you and that person. They look like when that person speaks to you, they know, you know their voice. You don't have to look up and say, is it you? When you speak to them, they already know before you open your mouth what you're going to talk about. Intimate. Your pain is their pain. Your victories and your glories are their glories. Intimate means all that you hold inside from the rest of the world is revealed when you're in an intimate relationship. Some of you have come today in your feelings about this, that, or the third thing. Maybe even wanting God to do something on your behalf. You may even be looking for God to deliver you from something, to change your circumstance. You may be